Speaking of Jaeger, what should I get drinks wise for election day? I'm getting beers of some kind.
Something like that. Fortunately, I can't bev really, but
Well, starting at 3 p.m. So
I can have
you can have
one.
a bit and like not be hungover. I'm not saying like, okay, let's start pounding at 10 p.m. when Florida exits start coming
When
in.
Florida exit, oh god. Wakes up at 3:45. Destroyed.
No, at that point, that's when you just gotta like keep it rolling.
We just keep on.
You roll up to your gym, just pound a Coors, just shotgun a Coors, and just go in.
Just like shotgun, just like chucking on the ground,
At
like
that point, you gotta
just
stave off the
Jesus.
hangover. Now you're in professional territory here. Trust me, you
I
gotta
don't
stave off
know. I don't know.
the hangover here. Okay.
You're not gonna like the way you look, I guarantee it. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. We are an irreverent podcast about music, news, and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I am a camera operator. No, I'm Dan.
And this is episode 164. 900 Feared and Sexish. This is a lot of audio faces.
Yes. On this episode, we have reviews of Sam Smith's 2020 album that has finally come out.
Yes.
Queen Najia's album, Misunderstood, which has finally come out.
Ooh, yeah.
And the premiere debut LP from Black Foxes. So that should be interesting. We keep it interesting on Audio Face, the
That we do.
usual. No singles this week. We just had like a busy couple of weeks,
And
so
I
we're just
want to
kind
talk
of
about Ariana Grande,
chilling a
so.
little bit. Yeah, Ariana Grande released. I actually didn't even notice until this morning. I'm like,
Apparently, a lot of people hate it, so it's hilarious.
listen, I'm glad we do the podcast we do where we choose the albums and singles that we do. And so we offer these, like, we've said this many times, but of the selection of everything that comes out, we try to pick what's most interesting to talk about. Maybe not always the best, but most interesting to talk about. Ariana Grande's albums, not that interesting to talk about. But
No.
I mean, on topic, the interesting thing is that I'm trying to come up with, especially for the Audio Face Awards, what do we call this genre that is R&B that isn't R&B? And I think some of the albums that we listen to this week will help us explore at least
Yeah,
what we think of that
exactly.
album. Maybe not a name, but at least what we can call this genre. Because we all know R&B is a trash-ass name.
Yeah.
Really fast before we get in, I'll
You
be
know,
quick with
I
what.
call like sad boy, sad girl pop.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot. Of names I had going on. I don't know if I even read them down, but really fast, all the debate stuff, all the
Oh, yeah.
political stuff, Power Report is the podcast to go for that. Link is in the description of this podcast, and you can go to youtube.com/danfromtheinternet. Just passed 1,000 subscribers, woo! And you'll see all that stuff. If you happen to be listening to this in the tiny gap of time in between Monday and Tuesday, check out my live stream election coverage. Folks will be coming through, should be kind of fun. I'm gonna watch all the conservative outlets and then make a montage of their freakout based off of what happens. So should be good. And yeah, more Audio Face is just gonna keep going along. We've got a couple more things planned before the end of the year, but we're really close in the Audio Face Awards territory, which is the most exciting part of the year. Oh yeah, and I'm gonna update my 2020 playlist because I've been getting asked questions about when I'd be doing that. So it'll be updated soon. I've just been doing a lot. Anyways, let's get into the news of this week, shall we? And
Yeah, so there's been a lot of endorsements from musicians of different political candidates, but especially ones of Donald Trump and people of color. So there's
yeah,
been
it's been like the last week of endorsements and Donald Trump's strategy, especially since he's in the polls losing currently at time of recording. And Nate Silver triggered in the audience, but he is he's doing this like celebrity offensive where he's trying to get as many celebrity endorsements as we can. Of course, such a Trump strategy. But he ended up landing a photo with him and Lil Wayne with Donald Trump doing the thumbs up thing next to him. Lil Wayne turned out to be one of the latest rappers to come out in support of Donald Trump, saying that Lil Wayne was saying we just had a meeting with Donald Trump. Besides what he's done so far with criminal reform, the Platinum Plan is going to give the community real ownership. It's like Lil Wayne just like listened to Donald Trump and didn't act skeptical at all, which at least some of the other people who have gone up with him have acted somewhat skeptical. At least there's 50 Cent, there's Diddy, there's a number of others who have done this thing, but none of them seem to just like smile and pose for a photo op, which he's gonna use and say, "I've got the blacks
It's
on
like,
my side."
Yes, yeah, like, we've got the color people on my side. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not racist. We've got the blacks.
I have black friends too.
My My plan for Black America is named after a credit card. It's just some ridiculous stuff going on here. But a lot of celebrities, others are really upset about it. In addition to the Lil Wayne endorsement, we also had Lil Pump, who did basically the same thing, just like sitting next to Donald Trump, smiling, doing a photo. All Donald Trump is looking for is photo ops, and that is the leverage you have in a conversation with him. So I didn't expect Lil Pump to even have like a caliber of 50 Cent or Diddy or even Lil Wayne's level of political knowledge, but...
First off, that's how you know you're desperate when you have Lil Pump trying to endorse you. I don't think the guy has made a coherent sentence in his, however old he is, 20 years of pathetic life.
Yeah. He major street cred for posing with Donald Trump, by the way, that you're going to get in the rap game, I can bet. But let's see. Yeah, Lil Pump said it's the same sort of taxes stance that 50 Cent had, which is the thing.
Classes, like, man. All of them just being class warfare. Like, yeah, I want my money.
It's all a class warfare thing. These artists, when they get to a certain level, it doesn't matter if they're black or whatever, when they talk about the issues we care about and we seem to enjoy it for a little while, and the tunes are good and you can dance to it or whatever. But at the end of the day, when it comes to who's paying more money in society, it's not going to be them, because they're better than you, and they think they're better than you, and they think that they deserve to go off to private islands and have holograms while you starve and wonder where you're...
Except Tom Morello in 2016, he was like, the selfish thing would be to vote for Trump because, you know, I get them tax breaks and stuff, but nah, fuck him.
Yeah.
And then he just said burn everything down to the ground. So.
Also, one last thing really fast. Chelsea Handler needs to shut her mouth before she gets in trouble, because the thing she said was to 50 Cent, and I've got a backup for this. She said that... We were just talking about the 50 Cent thing, saying that... she used to date 50 Cent, and 50 Cent needs to know that black people are not allowed to vote for Donald Trump. And that's the part where, like, I got in my head. Where, like,
oh, it was like
Chelsea Handler, white bitch, you of all people, you especially, who's been in the documentaries about white privilege, needs to shut up about what black people can and cannot do. Because that's the thing Joe Biden got his ass torn up for before.
He's like, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. It's like, you can't say ain't like that. And also, you can't be yelling at black people like that. No.
Chelsea Handler was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon saying, I had to remind 50 Cent that he's a black person, so he can't vote for Donald Trump. Again, I might bleep out what I said earlier, but I don't really take it back.
So what, I'm white, so that means I have to vote for Trump, apparently?
It makes no fucking sense. You're Humans. Latino, so maybe you don't vote for Trump, but it depends. If you're Cuban, maybe. If we're
extreme truth. If you're into Santa Maria, maybe you do too, but you know.
You ever fill out a job application and you choose Hispanic or Latino and the rest of the application gets more complicated?
Yep.
It's like one of those.
Yep, that happens to me. That happened to me the other day. It was like, and then just a drop down menu. I'm like...
No, we've got the same issue where it's like,
God damn it.
I got one that was, I had to put out two or more races, not Hispanic or Latino, and I'm like, well, that's wrong, but I can't pick anything else. So, yeah.
That happens to me as well. It's like, pick one. I'm like,
The larger issue is that Chelsea Handler, stay out of black folks' business. Please.
Chelsea Handler, you ain't black.
Yes. That was a segue. I knew I was going to scare Sean for a little bit in that segment, but like,
there was a couple different ways you could have gone there, but you told the line, so that's fine. Going into our first album review now, we have Love Goes by Sam Smith. It is 17 songs, 57 minutes long. It was pushed back a bit. I think it was due in like March or time, right before the pandemic.
Yeah, it was due in March or April. It was originally going to, the album was originally going to be titled To Die For.
To Die For, yeah.
And it was around that time when COVID was just starting to branch out. And we covered this a lot in Audio Face, where concerts had to get moved around, album releases had to get pushed around. And we got back to a new normal where the album releases are back. Yeah. But Sam Smith was one of those that was going to come out late. And I don't think the whole album was redone, but definitely aspects of it was rethought because of COVID.
Yeah.
Sam Smith even said that... they didn't, I'll use they, them pronouns because that's how Sam Smith goes. But Sam Smith said that they felt that to release an album called To Die For during a pandemic is not a good look. At least there are some.
Not a good look, granddad.
Yeah, at least there are some like wealthy celebrities who have like half of a clue, unlike the Kardashians, who are more on that later. But yeah, Sam Smith finally released their full album. It's 57 minutes long. And it's got an interesting a lot of it there. I like their voice, and I like that there's a good selection of different genres within here, especially like a lot of callbacks to electronic. It's a very like dancey sort of record.
There's just a lot of pop cliche, which is my issue with it.
Yeah.
But it's the one good thing is And I wanted this is I wanted a more deviation from his past two albums, which were a little bit more slower down, more of their voice was more prevalent into it. But this was kind of like that pull of, okay, let's now make more pop, some more dancey stuff, which I do enjoy, but then trying to change it up a little bit, which is good because, as you know, as we always say on Audio Face, try to change it up, especially when you're a big name artist and as popular as Sam Smith is, you need to push it forward and see what you can do.
And just to like set things up a little bit, so Sam Smith, we talked about in the disclosure bonus with Latch and how that blew up. But around that time, In the Lonely Hour was Sam Smith's first like proper LP.
About a year after Latch was released, or
roughly,
a couple
years. This was 2014. Latch was 12, 13.
Yeah, around
so,
there.
So it was a couple that of came years out after,
and then that album blew up.
Yeah, it's fantastic. To this day is Sam Smith's best selling project, performing project, and the thrill of it all sonically had a similar sort of thing where it was poppy, kind of sadder, very more. Focus on the vocals and
more acoustics. The production of it was a lot more cut. It wasn't as prevalent and stuff. And this one is more of you work with those producers that can make pop and stuff. And you can definitely hear that in it, which is for better and for worse at the same time. There's a lot of stuff that annoyed me with the album. Where you know my favorite thing on God's Flat Green Earth, which is the boom snap clap thing.
Yeah,
and there wasn't like. Four or five songs, like, oh God, please don't do that.
Pretty unavoidable.
And it was, yeah, so that part disappointed me, but there are some songs in here that were fantastic. So, example, so we'll jump in. So it starts off with Yun, which is basically just a little vocal prelude, and it's gorgeous, and I love Sam's voice.
Yeah, it's a nice acapella thing. It's really kind of daring to start off the album that way, but they've got the vocals to be able to bring that up.
And so then Diamonds is right after that, which is a song that's blown up because it was released earlier this year. My diamonds leave with you. You're never gonna hear my heart break. Never gonna move in dark ways. Maybe you're and so I've heard it a bunch, and it's a solid pop song for 2020. It has all like the cliche stuff, you know, with the boom snap clap thing, and it has other production stuff, but the vocals and the lyrics in there are like, okay, this is. If this is what you want pop to be, then this is okay for it. But the problem is there's a lot of other stuff that we've heard throughout the year that is so much better in that regard. But it's decent for like a very, very popular pop song that came out this year for sure. So it's okay.
It's doing that thing that new pop has done recently where it's calling back from 70s and 80s funk and disco.
Yes.
I forget the name of Pharrell Williams' like other collab thing, but they released a song earlier this year that had a similar vibe to this. I'll get back to it later, but it's Pharrell Williams collaborating with someone else, and they together made a thing that sounded a lot like this.
Yeah, and then you have another one right after that, which just again has kind of like that similar sound in that regard, but a little bit slower down. But it still has like the upbeat pop beat or halfway through and a little bit more dancey, which I do like. After that, you have My Oasis, which is interesting because it's featuring Burner Boy. I don't know who Burner Boy is, or I might have heard it before. But anyways, he started doing Trap and B into that song, which I still don't know how I feel about that because that genre is, to me, hit or miss, really. Some people make it great, some people make it kind of whiny. But it was interesting within the context of the album because you have those, like, you start off slow, you have then two pop beats into it, then you go into Trap and B. I'm like, okay, let's see how it keeps continuing. Still not completely sold on that part. So Sirius after that is more of like your pop. That's like your standard pop song again into it, which is okay. So by that point in the album, I was starting to feel a little jaded in that regard because I know there's a lot of good work and stuff that he's done before. And I'm like, okay, let's see if he could do more or if it's just going to be that cookie cutter part, which I really didn't like. But then you have Dance Till You Love Someone Else.
Yes.
And that's like an amazing, good dance track right there. I really like it. I don't know who produced it.
I know.
But who?
One Guy Lawrence.
Cause I dance, 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 fucking makes all the sense in the world. Because I was going to ask, I'm like, I wonder if Disclosure made this, because it sounds a little bit like a thing that they would make.
Yeah. This is another example in which Disclosure and Sam Smith oftentimes will get together off of a regular Disclosure album.
Yes.
And they will make music together. It'll sound very different from Disclosure, which is good.
Because you don't want it to be Disclosure-y sound, because then it just stands out too much in the context of a Sam Smith album.
Yeah. That's a thing that Howard is doing, or trying to do especially, is make sure that he can produce things that stand out from Disclosure. Because it's very easy. Disclosure has a very distinct sound.
Yes, and you can make it sound like it. So that was the thing, because I listened to it, I'm like, this is fantastic. I wonder if they had an input on it, but it doesn't sound too much like them in that regard. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
And the context of the album, it's perfect, because it is a really good breaker from all the other, I was going to say, cliche sounds of 2020. Because the first, after Yun, the four songs right after that were like every hit thing you could put in 2020. So you have your trap and beat, you have your standard pop, you have your love woes, your relationship stuff and whatnot, which, I mean, I do like how Sam Smith does it. Other people, I think, whine a little too much. But Dance to You, Love Someone Else, fantastic. And then right after that, you have it slows down for The Lover That I Lost. And it goes back into like the almost his first album vibes, where you have like an orchestral background and stuff, a piano voice. I'm like, okay, I'm good. They started to break it up a little bit because I didn't want it to be pop, 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 pop straight through.
Yeah, that's definitely really good. I like that. As an album, it's constructed well together. That's always something I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And it has this kind of calmer piano thing that goes down. And even in through, you get through what my favorite song might be is Love Goes with Labyrinth.
Yep, I was going to say, I'll actually really enjoy that song.
Starts with piano in the beginning, really nice sort of getting it all out melody. The melody kind of falls into place slowly with drums and everything. And it becomes a really nice song. And then in the middle, there's this big trumpet sort of, you expect it from Labyrinth very much. See how you like that part, because that almost turns into like a hypey typey EDM.
It's okay, because it's something different, because it's something that he hasn't done before that much, and I wanted to see what, like, because I know Labyrinth does that, where he's, you know, known for big hypey typey, like booming sounds and whatnot. That's what he does. But within the Sam Smith songs, interesting, because it's like a little understated hypey typey. Like, it's the trumpets are blaring, but it's not like too into your face to where it's over blaring and it's overdone. It's just the right enough into it to where it fits in the album, which is one thing that I give Sam a lot of credit for. Is there are a lot of different sounds in it, but it's all quite cohesive, which is good. So you have obviously what I already said with all the pop sounds, you have some dance tracks, you have some slower down tracks, but everything connects together. It is a little long, a little lengthy, and there is some stuff I think that at the end you could have cut, or at the beginning you could have like thrown out there, and it would have made it a little bit better. But every song does go together, which is nice.
Yeah, even on desktop Spotify, there are like two discs of this, but the two discs doesn't really sort of break it up in any sort of way. It's like the last three or four songs are also that disc. It doesn't feel like where disc one ends is really the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like, it's not like Humans or the previous Disclosure album where there's a very like
distinct
separation between the two. But yeah, the songs themselves are all fairly good. Another sleeper was How Do You Sleep, which I hadn't heard all year, even though I knew it was a single that had come out.
Oh, yeah.
Way, like, better than I expected it to be in the middle as well, kind of going through that. It's kind of like a, again, I don't know if I, like, love it, but I like that Sam
like
Smith
it,
is
his,
going into a different world.
When I heard it, I don't remember if we reviewed it. We either reviewed this or To Die For. I don't remember. But I did not like How Do You Sleep, and I still, it's, in the context of the album, it makes more sense, because when I first heard it, it was such a pivot from all his previous works. I was like, okay, let me see how the sound is. But now I'm still not sold on it, because I'm too picky.
I definitely like the sort of like EDM-y drop thing that it does, but I also find that happens in other parts of this album where it happens better. Definitely the Labyrinth song, and definitely Dance Till You Love Someone Else with its the Secret Disclosure thing. So it's like a solid album. The way I describe this genre is that I would, okay, connotations with all of the terms aside, I think Sam Smith is R&B because I categorize R&B as less, especially contemporary R&B, as less driven or held back by the exact sounds and production, because it's usually a singer-songwriter who takes whatever sounds they want. Usually they're contemporary, they're from modern electronic music or modern trap and B, and those things are influenced by 70s house and disco and funk and soul and all these different things. So you see all these pieces there, but you are less, really the less so than the production. That's not really a through thing. The through point is that all these songs and throughout all these genres tend to be about love and that broad context of anything about that. And because we review a lot of albums that are either theoretically or very distinctly about love, this one goes through, again, as I would expect Sam Smith to do, some of the deeper aspects of that. So it's not just relationship here, relationship gone.
It goes into the deep human emotion.
And jealousy and how you feel when you see someone you like with someone better and like accepting that. And there's just better paths that these go that I guarantee Ariana Grande didn't go down. And a lot of other artists this year that I expected better from like Kalani, for example.
Kalani, yeah, and Kalani fell flat in that regard.
Yeah.
Because it's also like a reflection inwards and being okay with yourself in other regards and stuff too.
Yeah.
And well, there's some more of that music which we'll get to later on in the podcast too. I'm Ready with Demi Lovato. It's a decent song. It got really blown up popular. It's okay. I think their voices are really good together and the production is all right. The last song is interesting because it's a Calvin Harris song.
Yeah.
That's Promises, and I actually don't mind it. And I've had a lot of issues with Calvin Harris in the past, but this is like the more housey style of Calvin Harris.
Because I remember very early on in Audio Face reviewed like funk groove beats or like,
because Calvin Harris does a lot of sounds.
Funk wave bounces.
There we go. Yeah, we did that a long time ago. I remember doing that. But this, I think actually I enjoy it on this album because I think it ends up in a little nice groovy beat because there's so much other stuff in that album. This is a very good ending track to just get you off on the good note of, like, there's a lot to listen to. There's a lot in there that can get deep and can get heavy, and this is a perfect breaker and a perfect ending for it. It's a good album. I enjoy it. There's a lot that leaves me wanting more. It leaves me wanting more experimentation because now Sam Smith has gone from, you know, this just gorgeous singer-songwriter to now blossoming to, you know, one of the biggest musical artists in the world. And now it's, okay, they've established themselves in a couple of different genres. Now let's see if they push forward and now start to experiment.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, which I hope they do because it makes damn good music.
Yeah. I feel bad because this was, I think Sam Smith is looking for that next sort of like,
what's the jump.
Yeah. And I think if a lot of things had gone differently this year, where like Sam Smith could have released the album in a normal release cycle, that could have happened maybe.
Yeah.
But now like there's so much music that's getting caught up in here. I don't know if this will like make it through the noise, but if you choose to like go through the noise and pick this album to listen to, it plays nicely enough decently through. And I think there are a couple songs in here that will pull your heartstrings, pull your emotion in a good way, which is at least what I expect Sam Smith to do.
So that's the issue with this year, is that there's been so many big releases the past 2 months, especially, that it's hard to kind of break out. And it's interesting for him, someone who has already had two very successful releases, to see him. I mean, three or four of these songs have already had hundreds of millions of downloads and purchases and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's already been quite successful. But for the rest of the album, it'll be interesting to see, because in the other regards, his other works, I like them a little bit more, but I'm glad to see more of a deviation because I was worried there to see if it was more, so.
Yeah, that song that I was struggling to remember, I am 90% sure I have it. No, yes. Pomegranate.
Pomegranate, that's Deadmau5 thing, right?
Yeah, and it was the song that kind of sounded like,
yeah, I know that song off the top of my head. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a song that kind of was in, I thought it could be a really cool thing because it was bringing in funk and dance and all these different
things. Because it was Deadmau5 and the Neptunes, by the way.
Yes. But the, and I thought I saw some of those things happening in with Sam Smith's album, especially kind of earlier in. But it was just one of the many sounds it took you on in this journey. Like I said, it's not like it's not a great album, but it's not like a collection of songs. Like it goes together in a way, but as an album, it still feels kind of big and nebulous, but it's thematically work. So more or less, it's good. Can we go on an arbitrary scale now?
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite arbitrary scales.
Actually, can I? No, I'm not gonna make it complicated. Let's leave it there.
Arbitrary scale is years in Nate Silver's life.
Nate Silver, the whiz kid pollster at 538, who
whiz kid pollster. That's a way to say it.
Yeah. He's the one who everyone blames for 2016 and getting the polls wrong. He would be the first to admit that it's not his fault, and I, as a somewhat credible person, would say it's not fully his fault.
It's definitely not fully his fault, it's hilarious.
If there were a noted little bitch award for political punditry, Nate Silver would be, like, it would be the Nate Silver noted little bitch award every single year.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this fully in mind, knowing that Dave Rubin
exists.
Nate Silver's country mile.
Oh, yeah.
Nate Silver just does nothing but complaining about 2016.
Yep.
Even though, like, dude, you work at ABC, like, you managed to turn sports betting into a political job. Everyone hates you, you don't care, you make hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why do you matter? It's one of those people you just pay attention to Twitter too much, and it's not good for him. But it's very funny for me because it's entertaining. The arbitrary scale this week are years in Nate Silver's life. So we'll try to pick which year in Nate Silver's life is this album mostly like. I'm going to say this is Nate Silver in, like, 1998 or whatever. Around that time he was in college. I think he studied at one of the nerd schools, University of Chicago, maybe. And back then he was in the sports betting, and maybe he would have thought he had a chance at a sex life or something. But, yeah, no. Also, by the way, he went to high school, college in, like, the early 90s, for reference. He was born in 78. He's currently 42. So I'm going to say that's, like, 1993.
I'm going to say this is 2012 when Obama got reelected. And, you know, it felt like a normal neoliberal world.
Oh, yeah. That's when, like, Nate Silver was his first attempt. And he's like, I can predict this within a couple of points. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Nate Silver became, like, epic polls man for 4 years.
He's like, okay, you just... How, okay, then all the people who shorted the stock market in 08, are they all like just, do we go to them for stock advice now every day? But okay.
I mean, it's funny. Nate Silver has started giving out COVID statistics advice. And he's failed miserably in many ways, by the way.
To
the point where people who work in medicine are telling Nate Silver to stop.
To shut the fuck
because
up.
Because people actually trust him.
Oh,
and he's giving bad information.
Does not surprise me.
Nate Silver, barely better than Fox News. Anyways.
So a musician workers union launches Justice at Spotify. It's a campaign launched to demand 1 cent per stream for Spotify.
Yeah, we talked about this, the newish, like, music union that's formed, mm-hmm. Union of Musicians and Allied Workers.
Yes.
And they've done a number of different things kind of calling out, especially in the time of COVID, how it's very difficult for musicians to earn a living, calling out the very business model itself, where I guess basically artists create songs for free in hopes that they can sell merch and go on tour and really make money there. But they're kind of trying to challenge that and saying, no, we shouldn't have to rely on touring, or we shouldn't have to rely on this model that only pays us like a fraction of a penny per stream. We want like a basic minimum. And so the union's called for 1 cent per stream.
It's really not that much, people.
It's a sizable amount, but if you're going to negotiate, I would start there.
Yeah.
Because exactly. If you get something, if you get half a cent per stream, that's awesome. That's better than a YouTube number.
Mm-hmm.
And Spotify, in defense of me being a shill here, Spotify is making money on the margins, but so much of their costs go to the licensing deals with the major record labels.
Yeah.
So if you want to look at the big picture, it's also how much of a cut the record labels are taking. And it's put Spotify in an interesting situation because Spotify is also trying to be a record label itself. They're trying to cut off the record label so they don't have to pay as many of these fees so that they can keep the profits. Which is why I think it's a smart idea for this union to come in and say, okay, well, if this is the model we all know you're trying to move towards anyways, in this new model, let's make sure the artists are treated fairly.
Yeah, and because, I think that's it's warranted because there's so many smaller artists or up-and-coming artists that, you know, the cliche starving artist thing where they need to have that income, they need to have that resource, especially during COVID when a lot of those artists, you know, rely on sales of merchandise, sales of CDs and other stuff and physical forms at concerts, at venues. That's how a lot of these people get around, but that's impossible right now, so they need a revenue source of it. And there's about 900, it's been signed about 900 times from different artists, and there's a wide variety of artists on there. I'm sure you've heard of a bunch. I mean, I was just reading that list. I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't realize there's a couple of people I know on it too.
Yeah. We've talked about this. Yeah, we talked about this earlier about a lot of artists joining onto it. And it's very good. The united, it is harder to stand against or work against. So these negotiations are probably going to be kind of going on. They'll continue over time. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes, because it's not like Spotify is going to like go, okay, yeah, we'll give you more money. Yeah, we'll make less money for our company. That's
Daniel Ek is not like that.
Yeah. Daniel Ek's busy putting out the Joe Rogan and Alex Jones fire. He might be too busy to
notice this God.
Fire. He's not coming on. I don't know if I can say that, but he's not going to be on the Election Day coverage.
Oh, he's not?
Yeah.
Officially?
Pretty officially, yes. All right. As official as that can be. Yes. Shall we move on?
So yeah, going on to our second album review of the day, we have Misunderstood by Queen Naija. It is 18 songs, 49 minutes long. Queen Naija blew up a couple years ago with a single release of Medicine. I'm a call up Brian, I'm a FaceTime Brian, I'm a text Lorenzo, and I'm a Leah crying. Don't get it twisted, I can play this game too. How would you like it if I did the same to you, yeah. You don't like it, now you're telling me that. Solid, that was like kind of the start to me of really the trap and B style of
tens
music.
Trap
like
and
tens
B,
trap yeah. and B, like really getting out there into prevalency. And I remember hearing that song, I'm like, okay, I don't remember if we reviewed it at all. We've definitely mentioned it before somewhere on the podcast. But yeah. We were waiting for an album release or anything for her to do anything else, and nothing happened for a while. And actually, going to the album, the intro is pretty funny because it's just a bunch of like music reviewers or music people talking about her saying, oh, where did she go? She was going to go onto this great path and did nothing. Oh, she's just another light-skinned pretty face who just got overblown. Average voice who got overblown. All the negative shit that people get, especially women of color get in the music industry is ridiculous. And it's put in that intro segment about 40, 50 seconds of it. It's like, wow, that's kind of powerful.
It helps to set up the album as like a comeuppance, which a lot of music, especially rap music, is. But also helps to set up like kind of what is kind of true is to be a woman of color, to be a black woman in the trap and beat space is very crowded. And so to be able to stand out and set yourself out just from being like a pretty face and a pretty voice is kind of difficult to do. I will say that I think she did it because I like this thoroughly more than a lot of trap and beat this year.
For sure. This is one of my favorite ones of trap and beat this year, especially Too Much to Say is a perfect opening song right after that because it's literally saying, hey, I've got a life. I've got all these things. I have children. I have to do all these things to warrant them. I'm trying to make music, but it takes time, people. It does take time. 2 years is really not that long for music. Remember, in between a lot of like Arctic Monkeys, it was like 6 years. Radiohead, fuck knows how long.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's so many projects that take years and years, but people are so now, that's a good album title, that they want all this stuff from people. And she was saying that going into Too Much to Say, she's like, I'm this person, I'm flawed, sure, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into it that people don't understand. Too much to say. I got too much to say. I got too much to hide. I got too much. I see the pain in my baby's eye. He gotta go from house to house, I gotta tell him why. But he's way too young to understand now. Mama couldn't stay cause your daddy broke me down. I got scars from the past I don't talk about. And I could probably ruin lives if I run my mouth. Make up over my bruises and fake a smile. Turn on the camera, we gotta make this money now. The way Too Much to Say really sets up this album is like the Das Kapital of our time, in a way. I wanted to just throw up a wild take out there and just like
do it. No, but what I mean is that like a lot of the even the criticism that she's talking about is the fact that she's not adhering to a system which she doesn't want to participate in. Mm-mm. It's because you're not adhering to a system that pumps out music every 3 weeks. Here's a Drake feature here. Here's a Migos feature here. You're in all the videos and you're doing this thing. And even then, you're going to be called light-skinned and over-sexualized and like
always.
Fake anyway. So like, what's the point of that?
And she's like, I want to live a normal life.
Yeah, she's saying, I got kids to feed. I didn't want to like dub and do this, but now I'm going to go start rapping and doing like, this is kind of just like the fallings of capitalism. And the worst part, even the criticism of it is how people fall into criticizing other people for not participating in it enough. So like, because you're not in the mix of it, you're not doing all the things.
Exactly.
We can look down on you because you're not blowing up like you're supposed to. And again, like these expectations that are put outwardly on people who have no involvement, who need mm-hmm. to, who would be better off just like focusing on their own lives. I really do think like there's a lot to be said about American society and culture and expectations that you can read into that regardless of like your identity. But even as it relates to Korean Asia and this album, Naisha, I'll get it there.
Naisha.
Even as it relates to this album, it yeah shows that come up in story and shows what she's kind of persevering through to present this.
Yeah, and this is one thing I do enjoy about her album a lot is that she mixes a lot of different themes together. It's not just the tried and true of Trap and B of just relationships getting over this all. And it's about a bunch of other stuff. She has other demons, not just of that, of things in her life that she's like, I really don't want to go into. Like, there's a lyric where she's like, I don't want to talk about these things, but there are demons and stuff of that. It'll make sense if you understand it.
A lot of the album as well is also about like the breakup with an ex-husband, mm-hmm. and even some of the references in there is like, I could probably ruin his life if I want to, but like I want to move on. And so it's another thing we're looking at that we mentioned in the Sam Smith album review just a moment ago,
yes.
where we want to see explorations of love within the quote unquote R&B genre that are not just like skin deep, that aren't just like fling and relationship. It's like, how complicated is love when you're like
really
divorcing someone?
And like that's what she goes into, which is good to see, because it wasn't like the disappointment of Kalani's album where that was just your tried and true, just sad. This is more of your actual human emotion and putting it out there into an art form and really exploring different aspects of it, which is quite difficult to do because it's a genre that is, you know, almost overdone in a way in that regard. That is just. It's hard to get out there, but I really like Too Much to Say's perfect song. And then after that, I'm Her with Kiana Lede, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
I really like that because the production of it, it's like tried and true, you know, that almost like that 90s groove mixing in with, you know, 10s trap sounds. It's that perfect mix in between the new sounds and old sounds and pushing it a little bit forward. And I really enjoy it. Because there was some problems we had with They last weekend that we talked about that just felt really cliche in that genre. That's where that oversaturation.
Yeah.
This is pushing it forward.
Yeah.
Those are the two differences.
There are aspects of the production. I'm skipping ahead a little bit to the middle of the song. Middle of the album, Dream featuring Lucky Day, who we've also liked in this sort of subgenre as well. The production is, there's trap ideas there, but instead of like the deep brooding bass that you get in the background, it's almost like the techno sort of like MIDI piano keys bass that are playing in the background.
And I really like that because it's almost, I call it orb bass as I like to call it, because that's what it almost sounds like in that way, because it's that funky
it's
orb.
It's like a
bass.
Muted orb, yes.
Yeah, and it's, I like it a lot because you don't get to hear that much, except you hear it a lot in electronic music and in different little subsections, but not too much in this.
Yeah, that's nice here, and even in the song I particularly skipped, Lie to Me featuring Lil Durk, where it's a lot more trappy. I even
you
give
a
credit
a
that
bit,
I like it in there, that it's like, okay, it keeps this production
a little
bit interesting.
Durk, but you know.
Yeah. Same thing.
After that, you have Love Language, which kind of has that similar thing. And that's one criticism I have, is you have that production a little bit too much. Granted, it is very good in that regard. It just have a little, it's just like Sam Smith in the beginning of their album is the same thing of just, you know, change it up a little bit in that regard.
Yeah.
Where that's just a problem, I think, within the genre. It's just, it's a little too constrained. I think there's a lot of producers that have good ideas, but they hold themselves back.
Yeah.
Because the singer-songwriters, they produce a little bit, but they're not the ones, they do the lyrics, the vocals, but they're usually not the ones mixing it and stuff. All those people, I think they think into these square boxes in that regard of, this is what it should sound like. Oh, we can't do that because it's a little too wild, but I want them to do that.
Yeah.
I want them to push, because you can hear it in this album a lot more even than Sam Smith's, where it's wanting to like jump out, wanting to go a little bit further and push it, and you can hear it throughout it, which is promising.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that will definitely be promising for if she makes future works and albums. It's like the first proper one. But there's definitely the fact there is that room to grow, even if it seems a little bit like constrained, like they are like trying to keep the lid on top of it. At least it's there. At least it's there. They're trying something different with it.
I really like, skipping ahead again, I would like to Say What You Mean, because that, like, the powerful voice of her reminds me of a lot of 90s R&B, where it's just that powerful vocals and stuff of just really gets you into it, but it's like that perfect thing where you can almost slow dance to it in that regard too, and it's nice. You don't get to hear that style too often.
Really, really wanna be here, or do you tolerate?
But again, it's a little different production because you have really slow bass and you have the hi-hats into it, but it's very, very understated. So it's just enough to sound a little bit different, which is nice.
It's, again, like the way that R&B has evolved in the 10s to the 20s is just like taking on a more trap sound. But still bluesy, it's still got soul, it's still got all those things that like made us fall in love with R&B in the aughts. Even especially with Say What You Mean, it's even a little bit reminiscent of some of the best of Miss Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. And then you have One Time with Toosie, which the production of that remind me a lot of The Weeknd's sound. Because it has like that drum and that almost bassy drum sound with it in the background, where it's really understated and it sounds like a Weeknd style. But you'd never hear that style much with a lot of female singer-songwriters. That's interesting in that regard because
Without being overly technical, it's very understated
because that's what a lot of The Weeknd's production is in that regard, especially his older work. And that's some of the stuff I would like from him. But anyways, with this, with Toosie, it's perfect because then you get to the male voice about like halfway through the song and you have kind of that beat back and forth, and it's so simple yet elegant at the same time. So that's a song, again, that you can hear is trying to push it a little bit forward and get it up. So I think this is it's a very good album.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot.
It's got variety exactly where I want it to. There's a skit and there's also Bitter featuring Mulatto. Mm-hmm. Mulatto, very good female rapper whose like bars complement the song perfectly.
Yes.
It's a little bit faster of a song that's more trappy, traditional trappy. You'd hear it on maybe like a Meg Thee Stallion joint as well, where you have some of those like trippy drums in the background. And it all just sort of plays and fits really nicely together. So I'm happy to have those things because it's typical for trap and B female artists to go to male rap artists and do that. And you have your little Dirks on here. You have plenty of that. But you also get a lot more of a range when you have just like another woman who's vocalizing on that. And I like that variety that's there. And again, the matter is, how do you stand out in this genre? And that's another way you stand out. And thank God, because it sounds really good.
And I like it because it's a lot of this on this album is a lot of lesser known artists and stuff too, so it gets some prevalent. It's not a star fuck, like, and that's another issue I have with this genre is a lot of the times it's a star fuck. Sam Smith didn't do that, which is nice. There's a couple with some famous artists, but nothing like, you know, just your typical artists that get on there. But overall, fantastic. I think it ends well. It ends a little bit slow for my taste. You know, you have Trial, Error, Butterflies, and Beautiful, which are all pretty slow, but it's nice in that regard because it does, it lands it smoothly, just, it's nothing exciting at the
end.
It's
fitting, yeah.
It's fitting, that's a good word for it. But overall, for an album that, for a lot of people, actually is pretty hyped up and whatnot, something that people have been waiting for a long time, I think it'll give people what they want while also letting her do a bit more for her next work and stuff.
Let her breathe.
Yeah, exactly, and letting her be like, you did it. It's almost like the B2B, where B2B, she did her work a couple weeks ago, and she was like, shit, I had all this pressure on me and I was really worried about it, and universal praise. So I think this album should get praise because it's good.
It was fantastic. Getting universal praise to the point where I'm like, okay, it's getting praise from the people who like will like anything. So let me just go into this and make sure it's really good. And I was pleasantly surprised. It's very up to snuff.
For our genre of sad boy, sad girl, R&B, as I like to call it from now on.
We're working on it.
We'll figure out a name because R&B isn't the stupid category. Of this, these are two of the better ones you'll hear this year because it's a very saturated market. I mean, anything's better than Lana Del Rey, but it's good. It makes me hopeful for the future for it, for sure. So
very much so. These two also being Love Goes, the Sam Smith.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we did earlier. Arbitrary Scale, Years in Nate Silver's Life.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to give this 2006. He's still doing sports betting. Everything's all fairly normal. And this is like 2006 was also a year where the trap, or the not R&B, but back then it was like rap and B. Because you had stuff that sounded like Akon and all those types.
Usher, baby.
You had all those who were kind of dominating the R&B kind of set back then. And it was very sort of stale because it was just a continuation of the 90s and didn't feel like it had sort of sound in it. And that's where the similarities between My Arbitrary Scale and this go together. Because this sounds really good. It's very much the encapsulation of the 10 sound. Doesn't go any new places, but it definitely keeps me interested long enough for the album's duration. So that works.
2014 for me. Because it's like, you're starting to get that career, starting to be the known as the man of like stats and shit. Oh yeah, you know, the one, stats and shit.
Yeah, the one, charts and shit.
The charts and shit. You're being known as that, you're getting more prevalent after the sports betting shit, you know, after you're doing 2012. But then for the music, it's that sound of like the 2014 where trap is just starting, where you can start to hear a little bit more. That's when Skirt starts happening. It's hilarious. And yeah, so that's what that is.
We've got to do like an audio face special on like the rise and fall of trap in the early 10s.
Oh, we would like, do. Well, I would love to do that.
There's so many stories of like what could have been and then like what happened.
Yep. Especially, I will never forget the first time I ever heard Skirt on an Usher song. And it was just hilarious. But anyways, moving on to some news. We have Guitar Center is actually, this has not surprised me at all, but they may file for bankruptcy after missing $45 million payment. They are about $1.3 billion in debt. They have closed a lot of locations around. If you live in Southern California, they've closed a bunch of locations around.
Nearly 300 across the entire United States.
Yep. And it makes sense because A, pandemic, B, they switched their business model, which was kind of they didn't do things right when guitar sales were going down, but then they tried to switch into electronic music as well and adding that, but when they did that, they didn't do it in the right way in that regard, so they just oversaturated themselves and spread themselves a little too thin.
They didn't respond very well to the trends in music. They didn't respond very well to the trends in e-commerce, where things are moving more towards Amazon. You had to like pick how much of a friend you're going to be with Amazon. I think Guitar Center could have stood on its own, in much the same way that B&H Photo has just become its own like one-stop shop.
I think it would have been smart if they partnered with a couple different online stuff and done it, because they have their own online store, but then people aren't going to go to them. They're going to go, a lot of people, for Frisbee Music, an example, like right now in the pandemic, Fender did this very smartly, because Fender partnered with a bunch of other stuff, the guitar maker.
Yeah.
And they partnered with a bunch of other, and they're like, dude, our sales are like, this is the best we've done in a long time, and it's not slowing down at all.
They're partnering with artists.
Because they've partnered with artists, and they've partnered with other like e-commerce stores and stuff to help push there, because they see it. Guitar Center is stuck with, we are our own brand and try to do it all in-house in their stuff, which I remember seeing that. I'm like, that's not going to work, because a lot of the inventory, this stuff was bad, like it was really low, and or a lot of stuff they had, like the sales were not nearly as good as other ones because they had to upcharge because they were their own in-house brand instead of pushing it with other
stuff. To me, I compare it a lot to Best Buy or even Toys R Us.
I would say it's a Toys R Us for sure.
Yeah, Toys R Us, especially right now, but like, Best Buy, for example, they had to compete with the fact that Amazon was eating their lunch. But at the end of the day, people still like going into Best Buy, the experience of going to a Best Buy showroom, because you are still going to like walking in and buying products. Like, I had to get a irrelevant audio accessory from Guitar Center a couple months ago, and I'm happy I could just like drive like 5 or 10 miles to it instead of going on Amazon and waiting for that. But it's also good, especially if I were buying another instrument. I'd probably want to hold it first and play it a little bit for sure.
I need to go in. I can't buy, unless I've already played it or whatnot, or I know there's a piece I need, I need to go in and see, especially for an instrument.
So yeah, you just tie that with like a strong online presence. Because I remember back in the day, if I wanted like some guitar related, two websites I went to. Guitar Center, Musician's Friend.
Yep.
Those are the two I'd check, and I sort of compared the prices. If you can even say like, hey, we'll price match Amazon, or we'll do something else where you can just like get some of that traffic off of there or sell directly to Amazon. I don't know, but like, unfortunately, it's Jeff Bezos' world and you gotta live in it.
Yeah, you can set up. There's a lot of things that they didn't do right in that regard, and it's gonna be interesting to see how they survive, or if they do, or if they just completely close shop up, which I wouldn't be surprised either. Especially the pandemic is not helping them at all in that regard.
It would be damn sad if they did, though.
Yeah, I have bought many things from them, except I did get my 1992 original Fender Telecaster Plus from eBay because bass Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Happens. My dad's Music Man was from eBay, but I definitely got my Fenders from that same Guitar Center.
Okay.
And now our last review of the week, a little bit of a new one, kind of an oddball there. We have Black Foxes with two X's, 9 songs, 42 minutes long. This is their first sort of proper release, and I would call them like bread and butter alternative rock.
Yes, solid alt rock. It reminded me a lot of Preoccupations, an album, one of my absolute favorite albums we've ever reviewed on Audio Face to this day. That was about 2 years ago or so. One of the very few albums that made me hopeful for alt rock and rock in general in the future. This reminded me a lot of that, but a little bit different because the songs were a lot longer and a little bit slowed down in regard, but it was still quite good. But anyways, we'll move on to it. Starts off with I Am, which is a little bit shorter piece, and it starts off where it's just a guitar going on, like just going scales back and forth, and then it picks up with the lyrics, drums kick in, and it's like a solid, like easy to listen to rock, which I think is like it's a good way to explain this album. If you are looking for, if you haven't really listened to rock music much, or maybe you haven't listened to it in a long time and you want to see what's new, this is a perfect album to get you back into it.
Yeah.
And
If
it's
you think
nothing.
rock is dead,
Yeah,
he'll listen to this.
exactly. Because I think this is a very, very good representation of what can move forward. So again, I Am, it's like starts off really, really slow and it builds up into this really hard rock thing of like mixing a bunch of different sounds, again, pushing music a little bit more forward, and it's like really gets you upbeat, but it's a perfect short track into the album. And the nice thing with the album is a lot of the songs are very different. There's a lot of slow songs, there's a lot of meaningful things, there's a lot of faster up-paced stuff, there's a lot of really big drums, but none of it is cliche, which is really nice to hear.
I fell in love pretty much second song in with
No,
Badlands.
Balance
It's
was
a
hard.
nice, like long, like 8 or 9 minute thing, and it just feels like a full, complete rock song. I fell in love with classic rock in the 70s and 80s. That's part of it's like, of course, the guitars are unmistakable, the drums are nice, the bass and the drums, it's become bread and butter at this point. But the thing with classic rock is that it had a progression to the song that felt like the way you would just compose music generally, where there are parts with flair and parts that are not, where like you tease certain elements of the song that don't appear till later, and you play with the volume very much. It just has all of that in the song very well.
It's
It's.
a fantastic song. Like I said, there are a bunch of different rock artists. We have Greta Van Fleet, which I like to call it the Led Zeppelin knockoff, even though they do make good music, but they are too stuck into that sound,
That's
which is
true.
like
That's
my
true.
one thing I have arc against them. I do enjoy them though. But Black Foxes, I really like Badlands is a perfect representation of it too, because I enjoy long rock songs a lot. That's what I grew up listening to a lot with. You have Rush would make really long songs, you Metallica, old Metallica would make really long songs, and so on and so forth. And it because the thing with long songs is it's if you do it right, there's so many emotions that go through it. It feels like you're being told a story the whole way through, and Badlands does that a lot.
And like it feels like, sorry to interrupt a lot, but like it feels like you're listening to a story even without the lyrics is the thing. The song itself progresses it naturally.
And it actually reminds me of some of Sigur Rós, because Sigur Rós does make rock too in their older work, like Seglapor. There's a couple songs where it's that, where it's the crushing guitar in the background, and you have like this gorgeous wave of rock music that goes back and forth. And there's not many people that can make that, and it's good. All right, after Badlands, you have Jog Holiday, which is slowed down, and it has this really like fuzz distortion pedal on the guitar, and it's like a really cool little alt rock thing of just whispering into the mic almost, or like whisper singing into it. It's a slow little piece that then switches, which then goes straight into My Skin Is, and I like that song a lot too. I thought you were gonna say something.
Oh, no, I wasn't. Continue if you want, or I can.
Oh no. So by like the middle of the album with Panic, this is the interesting thing with the album is Panic is like almost like putting a Coldplay spin, like a Rush of Blood to the Head style Coldplay into this album, where I'm like, whoa, because the guitar is like this gorgeous little high riff. You have the really understated bass, good drums, good vocals that are a little bit mixed, a little bit oddly, but yeah, fun. Whoa, okay, because when you hear Badlands and you hear like My Skin Is, that's like that's hard rock, that's hard alt rock, and then you get to Panic, and that like perfect sound, which is one of my favorite things. So it's really cool to hear that in the mix of the album, which was what I said at the beginning. I like a lot about it because there's so many different things to pick through.
I like, the nice, easy sort of like scale strumming guitar. That's, I know that's just like a particular, when I think of that happening guitar.
I love it. It's almost,
it's a very Sean thing.
It's, it's almost like mixing Muse, U2, and Coldplay together.
Yeah.
Because you have something similar that's almost like a Muse-y sound with the drums, you have a Coldplay sound with the guitar, and then you have a U2 sound with the echo in it. So it's a really cool, it's one of my favorite alt-rock songs I've heard this year so far, and that's saying something like this. There's actually been some really good stuff that's been out there. Swim right after that, again, really solid song. Actually, reminded me a bit of Doves with their album that came out, which is a fantastic freaking album that came out a few months ago. It reminded me a little bit of that because you have a really nice skip drum beat into it. The vocals are layered. They're kind of hidden, so you can't really understand too much. And it's like just gorgeous, the part of just swim, back and forth. And it like teleports you. And those are my favorite songs when they do that. So the middle is album. Fantastic.
Yeah. It's just, you are spoiled listening to this album of just really nice, inoffensive, but still exploratory alternative rock music. Mm-hmm. And that's just what I liked about it. It's the best callback of the things I do like about the genre. It's all the little nice flares and things. And they're always just, I had several moments in the beginning, middle, and the end of this album where I just went, huh, that's very satisfying. Mm-hmm. Namely, near the end of the album, the song Pacific.
Pacific is solid.
It's so good.
Fantastic song.
Might be some of the best of, like, there are some songs I remember you didn't like that much on Foles' big-ass project from a year or two back. But it reminds me of some of those.
It definitely can. I can see that for sure on that. I like it a lot because it almost reminds me of some old Soundgarden demos I've heard a long time ago. I just can't think of them, where it's almost like the beginnings of shoegaze with Pacific.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like about it. But it's funny, and then you have the last song, The Diving Bell, is like hard rock song, just the end it of just like fuck everything and just like
which go I like
full
it has
gas,
that duality.
Which I like that because for album, it's cool because it really is broad in the rock sense, because that's what I've been saying. If you do, there's a lot of different sounds in it. The problem is a lot of bands pick one and they kind of just go full gas with it, which unless you like perfected it, which maybe five bands have, you can't really get away with it that much. But if you keep doing different stuff, like what Black Foxes have, you can make a fantastic album in 2020. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
I don't know, how old are these guys?
They've had a couple of albums that have come out, some smaller ones. There was I'm Not Well, which came out in 2016.
Okay, and, so they're still pretty new.
Yeah.
Relatively new.
Yeah, so definitely from the mid-teens coming together and coming out. It looks like they've got room to grow, because this is definitely one of a very limited amount of stuff that I've heard from them before. This is very...
I'm trying to figure out where they're from.
This feels like a big, complete project, mm-hmm. as it is, though, for sure. Especially near the end. I wished Pacific and The Diving Bell went together a little bit better as, like, an ending two songs, because then that has that golden album enders that I'm looking for.
Of course, they're freaking English. This makes sense.
Naturally.
Naturally.
But... unfortunately, it didn't quite end that perfectly as I wish it could have. But
no,
The
Diamond Bell was a little long, and I wish it had stopped before the second half of the song.
Oh,
I think it would have been really good.
Even like the last fourth is just like you're repeating the song and you're just like waiting for it to end.
Almost. Yeah, exactly.
But I just like the main part with Pacific is near the middle, it sort of like feels like it fades out and then it comes back for one last thing. Like that's like ending song kind of feeling. Almost.
Mm-hmm. I love songs that do that. It's like, it's almost like there's a lot of hidden tracks and songs. It reminded me of Yes from Coldplay, which is one of my favorite Coldplay songs because it has shoegaze halfway through that song because it's two songs in one where it fades and then boom, it goes into this beautiful thing. It reminded me a little bit of that too.
Yeah.
So, damn, this is a fantastic album. Thank you for putting it on them because I've never heard of them before.
It was very good. It was one of my, I need a third one.
You need a third one.
In my head, I didn't know Ariana Grande was...
Thank Christ.
Even if I did, I probably wouldn't have.
Thank Christ you put this on, because this is almost like The Horrors, where I've heard of them before, but I had no idea they made a new album, and that was my favorite album that year. Again, one of my favorite albums we reviewed, Preoccupations as well, because I had no idea that they renamed their name, because I only know them as Viet Cong.
Yeah.
And I thought they disbanded, so that was cool too. So there are a couple things that we found on Audioface where I'm like, shit, yeah, I'm going to be listening to this for a long time.
It's crate digging. You're like in the record stores that are currently no longer in business. Amoeba in Hollywood's finally gone. Rip-a-roni.
But rip, man. I loved Amoeba.
Yeah, you're crate digging. You find something, you're like, oh, this is interesting. You play it and you actually accidentally love it. It's one of the fun things we do here. Arbitrary Scale. This is Nate Silver 2016 from the perspective of a Republican.
No, this is just everybody blaming him for it, just for my own laughs, but on the good end, because we told you so.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's Nate Silver angrily going, no, but wait, I was only talking about probabilities. I didn't say.
I didn't say it was a for sure. 65-35, Bernie would have
won. Bernie still would have won.
And moving on, we always like to end Audioface on a fun or interesting note, so we got to end it on a little bit of Westworld now, don't we?
I definitely thought the Chelsea Handler thing would have been the most offensive thing I said on this podcast, but we'll keep going.
I want to hear. So, do I want to get bleeped or do I not want to get bleeped?
Well, let me explain. Let me do my best to explain the story. Kim Kardashian, in addition to being dunked on for having that, I invited my friends to a summer thing, and we were all tested, and it felt like it was normal for a moment. Haha, fuck you, pores. Remove that whole thing, because that's very not music-related. Kim Kardashian had a birthday celebration near the end of October, and to help celebrate, Kanye West decided to call up the hologram company, because we talked about him a couple weeks ago with the Whitney Houston thing. So apparently he's a hologram company, and they whipped up a hologram of Mr. Glove Don't Fit himself, Rob Kardashian Sr.
Yep. Oh, man.
Woo. And it was an interesting thing. There was a Robert Kardashian hologram that was appearing, talking to Robert Kardashian hologram's very real and living daughters and extended cinematic universe, the Kardashian cinematic universe. It's like the Jenners are DC. No, but it's like you have this thing, and of course it's weird because it's not really Robert Kardashian speaking from heaven, unless Kanye's Sunday services have really been hitting lately. It's like a generated thing.
Yes.
And so for some reason, this hologram, let me see if I can find the direct quotes, because yeah, the hologram Robert Kardashian says to Kim,
yes,
you married the most genius man in the whole world, Kanye West.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, first off, it's, you know, I still don't like holograms. We've already had that discussion a lot.
We really don't.
But it is kind of a cool gesture to do for your wife. It is a little odd, but they're also odd fucking people because they're that obscenely rich.
If I had this much money, the thought would cross my mind. I probably wouldn't execute it. But at least, the thought's there.
Exactly. But I'm saying the thought is there. You put it out. Okay, cool. She's crying and stuff. But then you have to stroke your own stupid fucking ego of like, you're putting words into his dead mouth of saying the glove did fit, fucking bastard. And you married the most wonderful, joyous man ever who wears the stupidest shoes and has the IQ of a chimpanzee. And his name is Kanye West.
I'm sorry, this is galaxy brain gaslighting, though.
Like,
you bought a hologram to come to your wife. You bought a hologram version of your wife's dead dad and brought him to her birthday just to convince her that you're a good guy.
Yeah, just to convince you that just to convince her that you're a genius. It's you. That would fuck me up mentally. Like, damn, bring my grandparents back and be like, yo, your woman is like the best woman ever. But like, you didn't know.
It's like at what point do you suspend like reality? And I guess suspending reality is just what you do on a day-to-day basis.
I mean, Kanye's going to get one of those Elon chips, and Elon's just going to start controlling Kanye with like a little joystick. Which
the idea of Elon Musk with like an Xbox controller controlling Kanye West.
Yes, that's everything. She's like, go like, left. You're
like, he's a celebrity version of a Predator drone, just like. But instead of bombing Yemeni weddings,
Truman Show.
Instead of bombing Yemeni weddings, it's just like interrupting concerts and award shows
and judicial hearings.
Press X to interrupt Taylor Swift.
press Y to doubt candidacy. Oh Christ!
Press X to pray.
Press X. All right, this has been Audioface. Dan didn't get bleeped. I might have. Well, you might have got bleeped. I might have got bleeped. Who knows? Well, what does it mean to play us out? So, thank you for listening to Audio Face. It has been wonderful, as always.
It's been wonderful these past 4 years to live in Chairman Trump's administration. Mm, and maybe 4 more years. We're listening at that glorious time where we do not know the election results.
And I mean, next one, you might be out from the bunker. I'll be up in just a giant suit with my nine is ready.
Yeah.
No.
Just for historically speaking, the next Audio Face is going to be very interesting. Is it normal? Are we in a crater? Do we have internet? I don't know. We may not even know who won.
We probably won't.
Or we're just like, you can watch this all. Oh, these are the rose-colored eyes of all the losers who thought they knew what was going to happen before the election when they could have just waited till it happened to see the results. Whatever. You will see those results on YouTube.com/a
neoliberal war hawk war criminal is going to win. That's all that matters.
All I know is Obama can still shoot threes. And weddings.
Damn it, I was going to say, and you many children.
Let's play it out.
Thank you for listening to Audio Face. If you want to follow us on all social media faces at Audio Face Pod, please do that. You can follow me at SW Suarez, if I trust you, on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Dan at Twitter at Dan from the Web and Dan from the Internet on Instagram. Follow us on YouTube at youtube.audioface.show, where we've been posting a lot of mini clips. People have been commenting and stuff, which is awesome. A lot of you have been liking the reviews. There are still some haters, which I fucking love because it makes me laugh. And then there's some really weird people who are like, praise beyond to you or whatever. I'm like, okay, fucking take 20% of that off. Yeah, please.
Keep commenting on our videos. That's yes. Fun. We'll talk to you next week. And Glenn Greenwald's a sellout. Cheers.
Bye.